authority of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, he's in Syracuse and Cornell. What'd you do? You were Cornell today, Drew?
I was at Cornell today, Adam.
And where are you now?
I'm in Syracuse in the middle of a huge electrical storm.
Really?
Yeah. Remember, last time you and I were here, there had been a tornado.
That's right. And it blew through a graveyard.
Cemetery.
Behind yeah. Where were we? In Syracuse. Yeah. And we took a walk through it. It was very lovely. Colby's here tonight. Colby Donaldson, everybody. He's got a last name. Colby's here from Survivor. Yeah.
What is up? Drew, the one time I come over here and you're not here.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I'm disappointed. I wanted to
come back.
Well, I will definitely do that. I was telling Adam, I've been watching you guys since 95, right after Adam came on.
God bless Colby. And Drew, what's my favorite show on television?
Anyone that kisses your ass adequately.
This
week, it's Survivor.
That's right. No, listen, I've never missed an episode of Survivor. It's the most compelling show
since the first season?
On television. I've got to be honest with you. I was spotty on the first season. I was like I don't know if I want to be drawn in, because then this is going to be just one more thing I got to do instead of whatever it is I got to do.
Right.
And so spotty. But then from second on, pow.
Yeah.
And, Colby came in second in the Africa one, which...
Australia.
Australia, which is one where that was one where you're drinking out of the mud puddle, right?
Well, Africa was the mud. Australia was the second season. It was the big one over there when we had to deal with all the snakes. We had the huge flood that came through and washed out the camp and all that fun stuff. Oh.
That was the Jerry one, wasn't it?
That's right. Jerry was my cohort.
Yeah, but what happened Colby came in second place, but could have easily come in first place had he picked the person nobody liked, but Chief. He went with the good person instead. People thought it was noble yet stupid.
There you go.
Is that true?
I've certainly had to answer that question many a time since then.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking, and do you regret it? Because I took Tina.
Right.
Knowing that it was a pretty good chance I just gave away $1 million. So.
Ooh.
Right, because she was a sympathetic character, whereas...
Well, certainly wasn't sympathy playing into it. She was, to me, she was the person that deserved to be there. I mean, she had played one heck of a game. One of the most competitive people, not only female but male included, that I've ever met.
Really?
And it was just impressive to get to know her and see how she was playing the game. And when it came down to the end and I won that final immunity and got to decide who I was going to take into the finals, to me it was a really easy decision. I mean, Keith did not deserve to be there. He was, somewhat of a pawn that she and I had brought along the entire time. And it was okay with me to pick her and give the jury a shot to choose either her or me. And ultimately they chose her.
Quite true. I know the sound you make when you're thinking about talking. Colby, the All-Star, it seems to me,
this ought to be good.
No, here's what I'm saying. Colby has been voted off the All-Star Survivor, but it seemed to me that you had a lot more bravado this time around, that the first time we saw you in Australia, you were sort of just glad to be off the farm kind of thing, and now you showed up, maybe Hollywood had gotten to you just a little bit, banged a couple of supermodels, done a couple rails of heroin, and there's a new Colby that showed up who knew what you had at this point.
I don't know that was
more
it. I think I know.
Colby.
I
That's
just think it
confident.
Was. A, I think it was
not a, cocky, not cocky, confident.
Well, thanks for saying not cocky, but I think it was just a guy who, 3.5 years later, matured a little bit. And that's all it was. I was a little different guy going into this one than I was the first time.
Well, how old were you for the first Survivor?
26.
26. Yeah. And until then had no real taste of life in the big city, so to speak.
That's right.
He's Colby's from a place called Cristobal, Texas, where they have a half a stop sign, Drew. It's just it's just the S and the T. There's no OP. They have no stoplights. Mr. Haney's there.
You're Mormon?
It's crazy.
It's tiny. It's basically thatched hut village.
And people all know whoever's in town and know what everyone's up to and knows who's dating who and that kind of thing.
Are you a Mormon?
True.
No.
We're laughing because it's a drop that Engineer Anderson plays. Dude, gets everybody all the time. Drew, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, quiet. So you go from a Cristoval, you end up
Cristoval.
Going Cristoval.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
You end up. It sounds like something expensive a black guy would drink. And then you go to Texas Tech. What am I looking for?
Yep.
Yeah. What are they? What are they?
The Red Raiders. The Bobby Red Knight. Raiders. Come on.
Yeah, I'm
now?
Hip. I got it. You go to Texas Tech. You graduate with a degree in business and marketing, right?
Right.
And then it's off to where?
Worked corporate a couple of years, starting down in Houston and then in Dallas in sales for an HMO company. Decided the 9-to-5 was not going to work, so started my own hot rod shop, basically. Building street rods and muscle cars, that sort of thing.
You should see Colby, by the way. He's driving, Drew.
No.
He's driving a Ferrari 360.
Wait. No, but no. Hold on, Drew.
Yes.
Adam, you got it. I told you.
I know. It's going to get better. Go ahead. It's his old lady's.
It's not my car.
It's not his car. Better. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, in the cool
he's
department.
Kept.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like it goes. Like, here's how it goes. Like, on the cool, chart. It goes like, hey, he's driving his own. I'm going up here, Drew. He's driving his own 360 Ferrari. It's not mine. Oops, drop down. Oh, it's my old lady's. Back up again.
Well,
even
also,
higher.
Your old lady's, no apology. It's not like, no. It's like, hey, who?
No, that's exactly right. I get asked about the car a lot whenever I do get the privilege of taking it out for a spin. And I'm so quick to point out, wait, I wish it was mine. It's not. It's my girlfriend's. And nice. Then the eyebrows always get raised, you know.
You know, people want to know, is she somebody we know?
Well, first of all, she's a lot hotter than that car is, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
And,
wow.
I mean, she's not an actor. She's not in the business, which is nice.
Where'd she get all her money?
Well, I'll tell you this. I met her in L.A. traffic, so I had cussed traffic until that day. And I need to point out, she was not driving that car when I met her. She was just in a regular old SUV, and I happened to be sitting beside her at a stoplight.
But she recognized you.
No. And this is the honest truth. I finally got her friends to confess to it, because she was telling me the whole time and had never seen the show, had no clue who I was.
Really?
She's not into that. Doesn't even live in L.A., just happened to be
here
that day.
All right, she's just some chick who just honks and picks up guys on the street.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Her first question. And when I asked her for a number, and she started laughing, and she said, "You've got to be kidding me." And she said, "Do you always ask girls when you're sitting in traffic for their phone number?"
Yeah.
And then, of course, she gave it to me. I said, "Do you always give guys your number that ask for it?"
And
so it's kind of...
Well, so where does she get her dough, just out of curiosity?
She has a business that children's clothing store.
Wow. And she makes that kind of money?
She makes good money at the
awesome.
Children's clothing store. It's out in Palm Springs, so you know those people out there have money.
Yeah. Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm freaking
Sounds
out.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole part about her either knowing you or not knowing who you were, it's of little consequence.
It really is.
If she knew who you were, great. If not, there's some good-looking guys driving a pickup truck.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the phones. We'll speak to Gary. Gary's... You know why we're talking to Gary, Drew?
Why?
Because
he's number one.
No, well, yes, but mainly the sticker, your little post-it. You know how you pick the phone calls on the
Still
screen?
Still there from last night.
That's right. So that's who we're going with. Gary?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yeah.
You get gas when you're having sex?
Yeah, like, you know, going at it pretty rough, and my stomach starts bubbling, and like, you know, a couple times I've squeezed off a couple, you know, quiet, unstinky ones, but, you know, one time I let one rip kind of hard, and, I mean, it kind of made my girlfriend laugh, but at the same time, it was kind of embarrassing.
All right. But she laughed. You're fine. All right.
But, I mean, how do I solve the problem? I mean, what if I let, like, a person...
Oh, shut up. He doesn't care about that. He's calling from Alaska.
Thank you.
Colby, have you broken wind around the new lady yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, good, because there's a window. And it's a weird window, which is, it's like, and I, Drew, think of a number. I'm going to write a number down. Think of a number of weeks. If you're dating someone, it's going well, and when you break wind. You know what I mean? You meet someone.
The window is, after what number after which does it get weird?
Oh, okay. So right? If it goes this long, okay, yeah. Let me give Colby a piece of paper, too. Don't let me see. Wait a minute. Write it down with this highlighter here. All right. On the same yellow
color. And so the question
paper.
Is, how many...
All right, here's the question. Here's the question. No, wait, use this Post-it pad. There all you go. Right, and right. Then pick a call using the same Post-it note right on. Later on. Now, don't write anything yet. Here's the question. How many weeks or months? Let's say months.
Weeks.
Okay, let's say weeks. Yeah. How many weeks do you go, if you meet somebody, if you're seeing them exclusively, if it's moving right along at a nice pace and it looks like this is heading somewhere, before you got to break wind, before it gets weird? Because if you go 2 years without breaking wind, then you can never break wind.
Right. Right.
All right. I'm going to write my number down. This is just write the number of weeks. I'm turning my back to Colby. Drew, do you have... hold on a second. I'm writing a number down. This is tough. It depends when you start sleeping.
Now, you're
together.
Saying from the point at which you become exclusive. So you're officially...
You're exclusive, you're hot and heavy, you're
yeah,
sleeping
you got
together.
It. All right. But this, let's just say after the first date. After the first date, okay?
but things move quickly.
Things move quickly and they're going well.
Yeah.
Not a speed bump in the road.
How many weeks?
It doesn't mean you're banging her on the second date. How
but
many
the
weeks?
Third.
Okay. I'm writing, and you can break into, you can go into fractions here.
No, this I got is, a round this, number.
Oh, you got a round number?
Yeah, right, ready?
I changed mine to a round number. Hold on a second.
I got mine, Drew.
All right, I got mine.
Ready?
Yeah. All right.
The reveal.
All right. Colby,
well, I'm the only one that can't reveal,
got,
so I gotta
Colby's
say.
Got, Colby's got 15 minutes.
Wait.
No, he's got 4 weeks. I got
four
5 weeks.
Weeks
here.
Well, I was gonna put 10.
10?
10. 10
you
after
are...
which it gets weird.
No.
Wait, it's
not
weird after
before
four.
You start. You guys are gonna. When are you gonna start farting?
Well. When do I start farting?
3 days?
Well, no. You start farting at 5 weeks.
No, the question was, after how many weeks do you have to get it in before after which it becomes weird?
Well,
see, my number's the same.
I pick the number when I start breaking wind.
No, here's my question. If you don't get it in by 10 weeks, you ain't never going to do it.
That's okay. What I'm saying. So I get it in at 5.
Here's my question.
Five when you start.
What? All right, here's my question, Doc, because I'm actually dealing with this with my girlfriend. I've become so comfortable, and we've been together 9 months. I've become so comfortable farting around her.
Yes.
She's now concerned that I'm going to forget when I'm not around her and I'm, you know, someplace in a professional setting and just let one rip. And she said, Colby, you really got to check that. It doesn't bother me, but it is going to embarrass us both one of these days when you forget where we are.
No.
We have to translate that, because that would mean that every male on earth would be having trouble deciding when he's alone with his girlfriend as opposed to in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
That's,
I'll tell you. Here's where it should start, or here's where it oftentimes starts. Middle of the night, 4 or 5 in the morning, asleep in the same bed. You don't know what you're surrounded. You don't know who's there. You know what I mean? If you're used to being alone, then you're used to letting it fly whenever, especially when you're sort of, you know, under the cloak of sleep. You just let it fly. Yes, Drew?
Adam, that's when you start showing your wife your worth. She told me you start fanning the sheets and stuff in the middle of the night.
I'll tell you where we really got going is we were driving the car one day, and I let a big blast go whilst I was, you know, operating the vehicle, and then I immediately started the fanning motion, the sort of cupping and the motion, you know, from the groin up to the face, and she was disgusted by this, by the way, and she said, I can't believe you're fanning it up toward your face.
Ugh.
And I said, and I got really serious. I said, look, I'm operating a motor vehicle. You want me to tuck my head down between my legs while I'm driving? Use your head, woman. Please. Start thinking. I could take us right into a tree. And she was like, she was stunned for a moment. Like, oh my God, he doesn't even know what I'm talking about. But I had to start laughing at a certain point. All right, so Drew, I still don't understand what your angle is. I say you better get it in by week 5. Start at week 5. And I know your angle now. Yes, you're saying it gets weird if you go farther than 10 weeks.
Right. You're never going to do it. If 10 weeks pass, you ain't never going to do it.
See, I think the expression break the ice originated as break the wind.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because I think that's when you really do just say, all right, the gloves are off. This is officially a relationship.
Right. Right. Yes. You mean enough for me to break wind around you or possibly on you.
In the direction of.
Becky?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I got married a little over a year ago, and I had a baby 8 months ago. And really, ever since I got pregnant, I haven't had the desire to have sex with my husband. And I'm not really sure why. And it's been ever since I got pregnant and now even afterwards.
You're fat. It's actually very, very common, Becky, for up to that first year after pregnancy for multiple reasons. One is people still breastfeed. That can affect sex drive. People get women get depressed. That can affect sex drive. And just the hormonal changes of going from pregnant to non-pregnant, many women feel a drop in libido. And then add in the stress of trying to child rear. Of course, it's not top of mind all the time.
Right. Do you have any suggestions on what I could do to...
Are you menstruating normally?
Yes, I am.
Are you breastfeeding?
Well, I was until my daughter was about 4 months old, and then I stopped because I had to stop.
And
I stopped pretty soon.
Are you on any medication?
No, nothing.
Then one of the things that they will do is put you on the birth control pill.
Well, I was on the birth control pill, but I started to get really, really, really bad headaches, and they said it was because my estrogen level was too high, so I had to be off of birth control.
Did that help while you were on the pill?
Being able to have sex, yes, it did.
Yeah, right. So you,
Drew, I'm going to start spotting if this goes on.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
Hey,
Becky.
Yes.
When did your husband start farting around you?
Like probably 2 weeks after we started dating.
Smart.
He's very comfortable with his farting. So.
And by the way, women, as much fun as men have with it, women are not exactly enamored and impressed with this behavior.
No, they're not.
It's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, they wouldn't know it. You know what it's sort of like? It's really almost the equivalent to a woman's period in which if we were dating a woman and we're with her for 2 years and never saw a tampon or a maxi pad, we wouldn't ask any questions. Like, hey, what's going on with the menses, sweetie pea? It'd just be like, well, it's whatever. She doesn't do it. Yeah, we wouldn't care if she was getting, you know, cancer and her uterus was going to drop out like a truck transmission. it just wouldn't matter. It'd be like, she's not doing it. Like, I mean, Drew, you're a doctor. Maybe you'd start sniffing around down there. But me, if I never saw the woman do a number two or put a tampon in or do anything like that, I would not ask any questions for the entirety of the relationship. I would just assume she doesn't have a menstrual period and she doesn't do number two. And I'm fine with that. Not sure if she has an anus. Like to find out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you would have already found out at this point.
Oh, yeah. Who were the hot chicks on the Australia one?
Oh, we had Amber, the little cutie.
Oh, yeah.
And Elizabeth, the girl that's on the host of The View now.
Yeah. Smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see him naked?
No.
You got to see something at some point, don't you?
You would think there would be a payoff at some point.
Where's everyone go to the bathroom?
Wherever you can find a bush. Well, the main thing is you don't have to go to the bathroom. You don't need to go to the bathroom.
Well, it's an interesting point. You're not eating.
No. You're not putting anything in.
So if you're not putting anything in, what? How often are you making?
Well, in Australia, the first... I actually held out the longest.
Really?
Not because I wanted to, but that's just the way nature worked. And it was day 15 was the first time I went.
True. Do you hear that?
And, you know, the big deal is we're not given toilet paper, but trust me, you don't need it. You don't need it. Your body uses every calorie you put in it.
Just drops out like a biscuit. Huh? Yeah. Hit it with a hockey stick and send it into the ocean.
When you're ready, your body lets you know, and then it's over, and you go back to camp.
Sure, that's an interesting point, which is, with everybody just eating like maniacs now, it's got to be a lot of extra Duke going around. You know what I'm saying?
How about that?
Yeah? Think about that, buddy.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, good times. 15 days.
15 days.
Wow.
And wasn't constipated. Didn't even feel like I
just managed to fart though.
Any good farts?
No, not that I recall.
Nothing good. Nothing going on in the belly.
Nothing.
How much did you weigh when you started?
Bad. I lost 33 pounds, I think, in 42 days, and I went in at 6.5% body fat. I was training for a marathon when I got the call. So.
Wow.
Jerry was telling us that they refed you in a very dangerous way.
Shoved a pot roast up his ass.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? You mean after the
frozen
game, Drew?
After, they basically gave you free access to everything you
could possibly
eat. That is extremely dangerous.
It is, and it is so hard on the system, on the body system.
Jerry described how she got edema, and she had all these, you know, electrolyte problems, and people can die from that. It's crazy.
What should you do, Drew, if you haven't, you know, you've been out on a raft for a month and you haven't eaten anything but, you know, sea turtle egg or something.
I'm no expert in this, but I know you have to introduce calories and proteins in a systematic and slow way. And people's phosphates drop out, their potassium drops, they can have cardiac arrhythmias. It can be really quite serious.
In the defense of the medical staff that Survivor has, they educate you about all of that, Drew. And they give you two options. They can say, this is what you should do, and here's what we're aware that you're probably going to do.
But they should be monitoring your blood every day if that's what's going to happen, though.
No. I mean, it's basically there at your disposal, and because of a lack of discipline, you know, when you're without for that long, you just absolutely just mow through everything that's on the table, and you get sick. And I mean, it's obviously after being on All Stars, we've done it twice now. You do the same thing both times. I mean, you just eat and eat, and you get sick, and you spend half your day in the bathroom, and then you finally, after about a week, your body gets over it.
What about maybe they shouldn't drop you off at the Shakey's, though. Maybe they they shouldn't have Mojos at your disposal. Like, I mean, obviously, anyone who's been deprived this long is just going to go, going to go sick on whatever's put in front of them. Maybe they should say, look, we're going to start introducing this. Right. It's for your own good. Look at it as part of Survivor.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think Drew needs to put a call in to the powers that be over at CBS then. Because you're right. I mean, it's available.
Because you'll go back to the hotel, essentially, or where would you go?
Well, it depends on where the series is taking place.
Sure.
Where the game is, determines what kind of accommodations you have. It's certainly not the Four Seasons by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not as brutal as the game itself. So you have food, you have a place to shower, and you have a place to sleep.
And once you're back and you're a civilian now, you're just on your own.
Right.
Eat what you want, do what you want.
Right.
Watch a little Spectrovision and go to town.
That's right.
Oh, man. Colby's bill must have been like $7,500 the first 3.5 days he was back.
Yeah, I had CBS's credit card, I think. So I just said, all right, Papa Bear's
going to
pay for this.
Get the all-day pass.
Yeah.
You know, the good thing is when Jimmy and I used to travel back in the day, we figured out we could get past the Spectrovision thing if Jimmy brought some needle-nose pliers and we undid the cable in back of the Spectrovision box and plugged it directly into the TV set, and then we brought a universal remote.
Right.
Okay, and the universal remote, what you can do with the universal remote is get the TV onto the channels that the old remote wasn't programmed to put it onto. So we would bring the universal remote, and we would bring the needle-nose pliers, and like MacGyver with a boner, we would figure this whole thing out. We get it set up, but then the problem is whoever had the universal remote could watch TV. The other guy would just have it set on the porn station, and then the other guy would take the universal remote and go back to his room. So you had 20. You could not watch anything but porn, or if you switched the channel, you'd never get it back.
Well, that was going to be my question.
Difficult.
When you were talking about Jimmy doing this with his needle-nose pliers, I'm thinking, are you guys in the same room watching porn? Because that brings up a whole other topic.
How dare you? How dare you? He who dumps with strangers attacks me, Drew. Do you hear this?
I hear it.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Colby from Survivor. Oh, what a show. Huge fan. Tomorrow night, by the way, Thursday night on CBS, 8 o'clock. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Yeah!
Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Bloodline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there in Syracuse. Colby here tonight, everybody.
What is up?
He, of course, is from Survivor Australia and then Survivor All-Stars. Arguably the most famous of the survivors. I'd say there's Rupert is up there, and there's a handful. Rudy. Well, yeah, I like Rudy, but Rudy went so early on the he went early on the All Star, right?
Yeah, but he's such a favorite. I mean, he's the oldest guy ever, man or woman, to go through. He's an old Navy SEAL. He's cadre. You just gotta love him.
He's a salty racist. That's what I like about him. All right, so that's Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. I do my Survivor dance at the beginning. Oh, hey, ho, oh, hey, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. I'm up on my feet, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk to Roger, who saw you on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is another one of my favorite shows, and I thought you were great on it.
Oh, thank you,
yeah. Roger.
That was the most incredible episode that I've ever seen. I mean, that's one of my favorite shows anyway, but when Colby was on it, just the premise and his acting on it, like, you know, how arrogant he acted, it was just amazing. So I just want to compliment you on that.
Just for those people who didn't catch that episode, they were, what's his name was talking?
Larry.
Larry David was talking to his rabbi, and he said that he wanted to bring somebody to his party and that he was a survivor. And I think Larry David thought he meant of the Holocaust, of course. And then when and he said, well, I'll bring my cousin Saul because he's a survivor as well, and they'll have something to talk about. And when he introduces Colby, he's like, yeah, this is Colby from Survivor. And of course, cousin Saul is offended that he's known as a survivor. And then Colby proceeds to explain to him how difficult it was living on the continent.
The best part was the dinner time conversation where they're arguing who the real survivor was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very
awesome.
Much. Awesome. It was cool. Well, and so I got to ask you, Adam.
Yes.
Did you take offense to that, the premise of that episode and all of that in any way?
No. You mean with all the survivor Holocaust?
That's right, because it was about the Holocaust and everything.
No. Well, although I'm often mistaken for a Jew, I'm not one.
Oh, I
although,
apologize.
Although I wish I was, because I believe those people have it together. Yes, true? Drew's half a Jew, but he hates that side of himself, so he has no opinion on this. No, I there's nobody likes to laugh like the Jews. I mean, really, let's be honest. I know it's a stereotype that they're all the writers and the comedians and all the producers. They are. That's what they like. That's right. What they look. That's their culture. It's not Cambodians. Who are the great comedy writers of our time. It's the Jews. And that was written by Jews for Jews, essentially.
That's right.
So,
and in the audition, I went in with Larry David.
Did you get
crap
for it?
And there was a little bit of backlash.
Adam, if you remember, Adam, we had a Holocaust situation of our own.
We did? Oh, we did have a Holocaust.
All right.
Yeah, listen to that.
Bring. Bring.
Oh, wait, we got to set this up. All right, hold on a second. All right. Wait a minute. Well, okay, now I don't even know. I'm so excited. Colby, first off, okay, I'm going to tell you about our Holocaust situation, but tell me about going in and reading with Larry David.
Well, that was the whole thing. Most people know, and for those that don't, it is Curb Your Enthusiasm is unscripted. So it's basically a premise and a storyline, and then you just let it roll. And when you go in and audition, I went in with a bunch of actors, and when we go in, they tell us the premise, and this is what it is, and this is why it's going to be funny. And I was actually playing a fictitious character from a fictitious season of Survivor. I didn't go in as myself.
Oh, I
was
guess
this guy named I was this guy named Steve from some other series or whatever. And
why weren't you allowed to be you from Australia?
Well, ultimately I was, but when they were casting it, they were pulling in all these actors, and they didn't know who was going to get the part.
Good. I thought I was going to have to stop smoking pot because I was like, I saw that episode.
Yeah, no.
You said Colby from Survivor.
That's right. That was a change. Actually, we shot it initially as this character named Steve, and then Larry called and we went back and dubbed over my name because he said this is ridiculous, everyone knows who you are from the show, it just doesn't make sense. But my point is, I went in and Larry is there in the casting office explaining the premise, and my logic was, well, if it's okay with him, you know, he's Jewish, if it's okay with him, then we're good to go. And so I didn't think twice about it.
A goyim pon in the game of Judaism, Yestra?
Whatever.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we have our own story, but I got, the other thing, too, that I was watching, Colby did such a great job on the show, and it's tough, especially in amongst these great comedic actors, not only holding your own, but really being reviewed favorably to these people, and I thought, wow, this guy's not an actor. I mean, he's on Survivor, but that's not acting.
Right.
And I'm sure he's a smart enough guy. But most guys, you know, when they come on these sitcoms, whether it's an athlete or somebody of note, they come on a sitcom, they look stiff as a board. The fact that it wasn't scripted, I mean, the fact that you had your beats, you had the stuff you wanted to say, but you weren't trying to memorize actual verbatim dialogue probably helped you be as realistic as you were.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And it was weird because you're right. It was intimidating to get in there with these guys that have this inherent chemistry and trying to fit in real quickly. But, you know, I was talking with Probst about it afterwards, and he said, isn't it hard to go in and play yourself? Because,
yeah.
You know, I was making up stuff, but I was playing myself, and then I took it is Gary the caller that called in?
Oh, who the hell knows?
Anyway, what he was saying,
oh, yeah. That's Roger.
You know, about me being arrogant. I mean, that's what was fun, was to take it so far over the top and be so ridiculous about how I truly believe my experience was more difficult than the survivor. So
right.
It's kind of weird because you go in and out of reality and fiction and all of that sort of thing.
Hey, our Holocaust story is...
Yeah, give me this one.
I'll be fast about it, but we got into trouble as well. People very touchy about the subject. we had a phone sex operator call on the show, must have been a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, my problem is I'm so good with my customers on the other line, they orgasm too quickly, I don't keep them on the phone long enough, and I don't make enough money. So I said, one of the things I said is that you phone sex operators overdo it a little too much. It's like, who are you? Well, you know, I'm from Sweden. I'm an exchange student. I'm 6 foot. I got double D's. And then, okay, I got to go. You know, so don't overdo it. You know what you should be saying is, look, I got a rack that won't quit. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little extra meat on the ass, but it looks good naked and beautiful blue eyes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just enough to sort of keep you in there, you know? Because what supermodel would actually be doing, you know, the 1-800, cornhole line, you know? But so you know what I mean? How hot are you going to be when you're, you know, I can hear the wind blowing the tin siding on your trailer. How hot?
You were suggesting that you use subliminal messages.
Yeah, I said to her, you know what you need to do? Use subliminal messages. So it's like you go, oh, baby, you sound hot, Cancer. I really want to get to know you of neural disease. And just tuck it in there enough. The guy won't even know what you're saying. That's going to just kill his wood enough to stretch it out for 10 or 15 minutes and make some money. So I suggested bringing up the Holocaust in a subliminal way in order, again, like just to stretch it out a little bit. And, here's how it went.
Wait. Yes? And then you went a Holocaust, and she was like,
hadn't really heard of the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But that in my mind meant she was a little bit hotter. Because fat chick would have known about it. All right. And she didn't know what subliminal was either.
Right.
I think we had to explain both those concepts there, Drew. But now is this set up enough to play that clip?
Yeah, but you have to tell
Tom
me.
Tom Arnold was the guest.
Tom Arnold was the guest.
Oh, yes. All right. Anderson, why don't you just roll that thing? Let's see if it works.
So this is all you. You're making me play it right now, right?
Okay. I don't know what's going on now.
Because I don't want to get in trouble for playing it.
Are you cut off over there or something? What's going
on? No, I'm waiting to hear the clip.
Can you guys hear me?
I'm waiting to hear the clip, too. Is Anderson there?
I guess my mic's not working.
All right.
Not with me.
It's not with me either. Okay. Bring.
There we are.
Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar. I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
So I wonder, just to work it in subliminally, and she went ahead and she went ahead and just screamed it out. Basically, she worked it into her sexy talk, and that's
she had no idea what it meant.
Yeah.
She had no idea what it meant.
Yeah. Let's see. True.
Yep.
Somebody saw you on the Real World, by the way.
Yep.
So you want to talk to them?
Whatever. Yeah. Sure.
All right. Carrie?
Hi.
25?
Yes, I am.
Saw Drew on the Real World?
I saw Dr. Drew on the Real World, and I live in California, and I'm going through a divorce with my ex-husband, and I lost my insurance, and I want to stop cutting, and I have no resources to get to.
You're cutting on yourself?
Yes, I am. I've been doing it since I was 16.
Yeah. How old are you now?
I'm 25.
And what kind of treatments have you had?
I'm on antidepressants and Xanax right now.
And who's prescribing that?
My psychiatrist.
And so you are getting treatment.
Well, yes, but now the treatment's run out, and I have no resources to go to since I have no insurance, and I have no money to pay for the $1,300 a day to get to the treatment, and I was wondering if there's any...
$1,300 a day for treatment?
Yeah, and that's for the nearest place, and I can't find any place that it will take people without insurance, because it's obviously... It's getting worse. I made 26 cuts within the past week.
Are you dissociative when you do that?
No. I get angry and frustrated, and I feel like I'm trapped in a box, and I start cutting.
Yeah, but when you're cutting, you're not sort of dissociated and checked out. You're just sort of angry and...
No, I'm angry, and I'm upset, and it's...
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You say $1,300 for the closest treatment? What does that mean?
It means that I'd have to pay them $1,300 a day, and I can't leave until they say I can.
Oh, you mean if you checked into...
If I checked in.
...mental institution?
Yeah.
All right. Drew.
Well, yeah, I
know that there's 1-800, the 1-800 don't cut, but that's in Chicago. And obviously with the financial situation I'm in, I can't really afford to fly to Chicago either.
Yeah, but look, you first of all, it's not $1,300 to stay in a psychiatric hospital. Secondly, unless you are actively trying to harm yourself or somebody else, all psychiatric hospitals are voluntary. So it's not as though you couldn't leave if you wanted to. The fact, though, is you probably are not going to have access to inpatient treatment, but there are plenty of county mental health facilities available. You're going to have to access that system.
Okay, because I've been through numerous therapists, and they're just like, oh, well, we can't handle it. It creeps them out, and sometimes I'm tired of fighting, and it makes me want to give up. I was looking up ways to mess myself up pretty bad without cutting on the internet the other night.
You mean like kill yourself?
Well, yeah, but I started talking to my boyfriend, and it was the same night that I cut, and I drove out to his house. And
yeesh. Well, look, hold on a second. I'm going to inspire you, Carrie. First off, why'd you break up with your boyfriend, and who dumped who,
and do you want him back? I didn't break up with my boyfriend. I have a boyfriend now. I'm in the process of getting a divorce.
The divorce has
been dragging on. It's been almost 18 months because my ex-husband had a marriage settlement agreement that his lawyer messed up a couple times. It's just been a long, drawn-out process.
All right, what are you doing? Do you work? Do you do anything?
Right now I got put on temporary disability by my doctor because of the visibility of my scars, and she's worried about my mental health getting worse since it has been, since I've been seeing my psychiatrist and my doctor since I... moved back up to where I am right now.
What happened? Were you abused as a child? Raped? Beaten?
All of that.
I was sexually assaulted when I was 17 by a classmate of mine. I wasn't raped.
That's not it. We're going for before that.
There was always a suspicion that my father sexually abused me when I was a kid, but because I can't dig up unrepressed memories, it's just kind of like flashes.
All right, hold on one second. Sure. Hold on. Drew.
Yeah.
We don't have too much time, but let me say this about Carrie. And I'm a layperson, but a genius layperson, at least self-proclaimed genius layperson. Carrie seems to intellectually understand what's going on. She's not one of the people doesn't really, can't process information.
No, she has what's called a borderline personality disorder.
Okay.
And that is that feeling. So you get the hostility, and then it's help me if you can, but she won't let you help her.
I don't have... Yeah, but what I mean is there... Yes, there's anger just under the hurt, or maybe hurt just under the anger.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they've been through the process enough to sort of intellectually understand what's going on, yet have a fast answer for every suggestion you have for them to rectify the problem that they seem to want it rectified more than anything, but yet there's another side of them that's not going to hear anything about rectifying it.
That's right, because it would have to give up the charade that the external world is the reason that things are so out of control.
Right. So a couple of questions. Just on the sort of basic morbid human side. Are there certain people that just, they don't want to get well? They're not going to get well?
Yeah.
It's almost safe or comfortable or familiar where they are?
Well, there absolutely is that, and that's really sort of the foundation of personality disorder, is that somebody doesn't want to take on introspection in an emotional way and to look at their role in the circumstances of their life. They want it to be, it's less painful for it to be the world doing it to them.
Right. And what if you, now, obviously you can't tell someone like Carrie, look, how about you, you know, you go to your therapist, you take your medicines. How about you start listening to classical music and doing exercise and going on long walks and not, you know, watching 9 hours of TV a day? I mean, can you do any of that stuff? Is she going to?
It's all good, but it's like Dr. Phil's platitudes. It's like, well, you just got to stop cutting. You got to make up your mind to stop doing it. The fact is, when they
I love Dr. Phil. How dare you, Drew?
When they do that. When they do the cutting, they're in sort of dissociative states. They're not in their right normal mind. They're sort of in a, you know, sort of altered when they do it, and it sort of helps them manage their feelings when they're in that sort of altered arousal state that the cutting actually causes.
Right.
It's like an addiction. It's very much like they need structure. 12-step can help. Being around people, connecting with people.
What about 12-step? She doesn't have any money. Can she go to something A?
There's Emotions Anonymous. I believe there's Cutters Anonymous, too.
All right. Carrie.
I have been in treatment, and I do take my medication.
Okay, so...
I'm listening to you the whole time going, but I called because I want the help, and I am taking my medication.
I know, but you want a kind of help that we can't really provide. I mean, unless we go over there and drop off a suitcase of money earmarked.
No. I'm not asking for anything like that. I'm just asking for, like, you know, if there's, like, a Cutters Anonymous or someplace I can go to get help because I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
Well,
I don't want to do it anymore. It's screwing up my life.
What was this, just to make sure you're listening, what was the suggestion I gave you about 5 minutes ago?
Oh.
Okay.
I know.
So,
there
are county mental health services
that
will continue to. What's that?
I know that there's county mental health services.
That will continue to prescribe your medication. You can seek out 12-step, there's Emotions Anonymous, and there are people with similar kinds of personality, with certain kinds of trauma issues as yours. You can see, go to EA, you go to County Mental Health Services, and you look for services through County Mental Health that are available on a group process, and you keep people around you who will care about you and who can help sort of contain the behaviors a little bit.
True. Colby started cutting on himself.
Yeah.
He got so depressed.
I know.
We're gonna take a break.
And farting.
We're gonna go down the hall. We're going to rape the snack machine. Colby still got a bad thing from the island.
Suffering.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there in Oswego or some
Syracuse.
Whatever. Colby here tonight from Survivor.
Hello.
Biggest name in Survivor, buddy. Best show on TV. 8 o'clock, CBS on Thursday nights. Also, got to give a quick plug, Drew, something for you to do Saturday night at the Italian-American Film Festival at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood. We're going to be showing a Windy City Heat. Showing at about 8 or 8:30. So that's one of the greatest comedy movies ever made. I'm in it. Kimmel's in it and many others. You just go to www.arclightcinemas.com. All right. Let's all right. Oh, Jeff Probst is calling.
Oh,
I've
got
to talk to him. All right. This is crazy. Jeff?
Hey, first of all, Donaldson, get back here with my car.
Yeah.
That off as your old ladies.
Jeff was on the show a few weeks back, and a delight. Good to talk to you again,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. That was a good time. Well, Donaldson is missing. This is how much he wanted to do the show with you guys. He is missing the Wednesday night poker game with Shannon and Elizabeth, and to get Donaldson away from Shannon required Loveline.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are the flat bar that pried you away.
I actually showed up. I went early. We played a couple of hands, and I said, guys, I got to go. I bailed out. I lost a quick bill. How are you doing tonight, Probst?
I'm all right, actually. I got a little cash in my pocket. And,
nice.
Jeff, is there some sort of, a host-survivor confidentiality agreement that you're screwing with by playing cards with the Survivor members?
You know, eight seasons in, Adam, it's all out the window. But, It's all good. We're good. I don't tell Donaldson anything. You know, he was out so soon. He brought so little game this time.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Oh, was he on this
Wait
year?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
He was on the All-Star one, was he? Huh? I didn't see that. I was actually part of
the crew. Yeah, I didn't actually play the game this time.
Well, you know the thing. What we learned from talking to Jeff is, surprisingly, there's survivors he never wants to see again, and which would probably be 90% of them. And then there's Colby, I guess, and a handful of others, I guess.
Yeah, a handful of others. No, I think also we were saying, in all honesty, because now I'll get 50 emails saying I was dogging people again. But it's the same as, you know, you guys having guests on, probably every so often you hit it off with somebody and you might become friends. But
that's right.
People who are on the show, they're a guest and that's it.
I already gave Colby a handy out in the parking lot when I had to look at the car, to be honest, in order to really be motivated. All right. Hey, Jeff, we got to take a break.
All right.
Did you just call in to say hi? I don't want to feel stupid putting you on hold for 5 minutes.
No, we'll wait and hang out. We're just listening to the show while we're playing.
Are you taking Shannon's money? Please tell me she's not winning.
Well, hold on a second. And then we'll put her on the phone because she got to come on this show as well. Colby here from Survivor. Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, on hold. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over in Bum F. It's Colby here tonight from Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah. A dismal clap.
Got off, did the Australia, and the now off the All-Star. Jeff Probst, of course, the biggest survivor of them all, is on the line. Colby playing cards with Jeff. Jeff?
I just won a huge hand during the commercial.
Oh, you guys played a whole round. Okay, now I'm missing it.
Yes, we did.
Now, what do you play?
We play a lot of junk games. You know, in Los Angeles now, there's this Texas Hold'em elitism that's like, right. You know, all these guys play. But we play all the, you know, you between like the sheets and 727 and F Your Neighbor and, you know, yeah. Any other good game.
You know, it's nice every once in a while is a round of Guts.
I actually caught a round of Guts before I left to come over here.
Yeah.
Guts is,
and we play Texas
nice.
Hold'em. We play it all. It's dealer choice, so you get to play whatever you want.
Little night baseball or black
yep.
anaconda
go.
Can be
there. You go.
Can be
yep.
fun.
Threes. You
got
to pay the pot if you want the threes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now is who do you have? You got a big celebrity game. You got you, Jeff. You got Shannon Elizabeth.
We have different people.
You got Colby.
Yeah, and a couple other actors are in here usually. But tonight it's just Miss Elizabeth who's dying to get on the phone and talk to about Donald.
She's the token female. I mean, she's the only estrogen we allow in the house, but it's because she's so damn good at cars.
She needs to come on this show. Put her on the phone.
All right, hold on. Here she is.
Thank you. This is great.
Hey,
Shannon.
Hey,
Shannon Elizabeth. Everybody,
how you doing?
What's happening, baby doll?
Can I just say Jeff doesn't like Texas Hold'em because he always loses at it. He's not good at it.
Well, I mean that's kind of how it is with cards. Whatever one you happen to win at, it becomes coincidentally your favorite.
Well, and for the record, Shannon comes into the game tonight with both guns blazing, starts betting rounds of cards, and we're all looking at each other going, who hit the lottery? What is she doing? And she's like, well,
I'm so excited. I wish you were here so I was taking your money, Colby.
Are you winning?
I'm winning. Everyone is down. That hand that Jeff just won, I dropped out of early, so I didn't lose anything.
Oh, so now you're playing charity? What is this all about?
What do you mean?
And what do you guys?
I didn't have anything. I dropped out of it.
Hey, dropped out. Right. You got. Right. You know, there's that Kenny Rogers song that explains the game in great detail. That's right.
That's right.
All right. So Shannon, when are you coming on this show?
You know, I don't have anything going on right now. I don't know.
Well, don't you got a movie out?
Yeah, but I'm done with promotion for that.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, you can come on just to hang out and be.
I could. It's not always my call, but I would love to.
All right, I'll tell you, we're gonna hold you to that, even though I'm not sure what it was.
And can I give you guys a little something on Colby?
Oh, yes, no. Please,
Shannon. Wait, hold on. We're live here, so don't convict me.
No, I'm not. He is our Martha Stewart.
Oh, really?
He cooks for us every week. Oh. Brings over the best chili, and he did not make it tonight because of you guys, and we're very bitter and we're hungry.
Yeah.
I expect him to come back here with pizza afterwards.
He brought a seven-layer dip into the studio. That's delightful.
Have you guys tasted his water, by the way?
His what?
His water?
Oh, his water. Oh, his alleged water is Big Gulp, which is nothing but Kamchatka and Gatorade. Yes, I'm sure there's booze in there.
Thanks, Shannon.
This kid's got a problem, Drew.
Hey, I just want to make sure you guys are still going to be on the table when we wrap up here, because I'm coming back to take your money.
Oh, we're so... Well, at least I'm here. Everybody else might be broke, but I'm here.
Yeah.
This might be the first night I walk away with some cash, though.
Yeah, that's the truth, Adam. She has really lost her butt.
I bet you. Here's the thing. Here's my prediction. Once that pot brownie kicks in, Probst is going to be out of there. Because this is really a problem. This same problem. Well, Kimmel's had this problem a time or two, which is you play cards, you get really baked, and then you forget how to count. You're not sure what to do. You start laughing when you're supposed to have your poker face on. It's a horrible combination of drugs and activity.
Well, it's not horrible if everyone's doing
it. Well, that's true. Okay, but here's the thing.
It's great for those of us that don't participate, though.
That's right.
You guys mess each other up.
That's right. Like me. God. That's right. Yeah. All right, Shannon. Well, God bless you.
Thanks. Shannon, do you have any problems that you would like Dr. Drew or Adam to, help you out with?
Come on.
We got you on the phone.
Well, what do I do when I'm in a poker game and there are guys there I like, but they, you know, they have alleged girlfriends and, how do you deal with that?
It's got to be tough because there's some pretty hunky dudes at that table.
You know, I mean, and
Probst got that buckskin choker on, and
each other more than with any of the girls. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, it's got to be. That's got to be torture. It's all I can do to keep my hands off Colby myself, sitting here in the studio.
I know. It's tough. I mean,
I feel sorry for you, Shannon, but some kindly gent will show pity on you.
And show you a
night. I'm sure. Any day now.
Well, if you guys ever want to come play poker with us, we're here.
Yeah, we do. We need to get Adam there one night.
Well, yeah. Colby and I are going to do that thing at the end of the show where we exchange phone numbers and never call each other. But it's great. Yeah.
Right, so, change the email addresses and
we're not going to get that far. So Shannon, we're going to. Well, look, let's put it this way. The next time you have something to plug, which I guess will be relatively soon, you will come on our show and plug it, yes?
Yes. I will do my best, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank
you for that half-committed answer. And give our love to Jeff as well. Everybody, Shannon Elizabeth and Jeff Probst playing cards with the big boys. Colby here tonight from Survivor. We'll be getting back to that card game before the night is through. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
You're 4 months pregnant?
Yeah.
All right.
And
father died 2 weeks ago?
Three weeks ago.
The father of the child?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
He had a drug overdose.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Of everything you could possibly imagine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But the thing is, he didn't tell his parents before he passed about the baby. And they found out through some people, I guess, that I'm not associated with. And they told told his parents, and they wouldn't allow me at the funeral or anything like that. So I was just wondering if I should just let it go and let them come around, or if I should.
Well, why wouldn't they wouldn't allow you at the funeral?
Yeah, because I guess they associated me with drugs, which I've never done a drug, and I'm clean, and I guess. Like they say, addicts hide everything, so...
So you're just with this guy who was a full-blown addict, and you've never done drugs yourself?
No. And that's what, like... I've known him for 12 years, but I didn't live here. I moved away for a while. And I came back and started hanging out, and I didn't know he was like this. And
It still doesn't make sense why they wouldn't allow you at the funeral. There's something missing.
They wouldn't allow me, my mom, my dad, none of my family to go. I don't know if they're trying to blame somebody for his own actions or what.
Yeah.
You have another child, too?
Yeah.
And that child's got to be like 8 months old.
Yeah.
Who's the father of that one?
He left me when he found out I was pregnant. And when
he found out you're, well, when he found out you're pregnant with this other guy's kid?
No, when I was pregnant with my first child.
Oh, I see.
And
all right, hold on a second. We have to convene. So I know what Drew's thinking. Drew's thinking, well, this is a tragedy, but yet there's more to it than meets the eye.
Like, oh my,
she's not just some Pollyanna who's never actually even had a thimbleful of alcohol in her life. She magically gets hooked up with some junkie and can't go to the funeral, even though she had a, you know, a bonding relationship with this guy. There's some denial. There's something, and then it starts to little things start to bleed.
She uses the phrase
in.
"I'm clean," which
yeah.
There's something going on, and then you hear the kid in the background. Now there's another guy and another kid, and it starts to it comes unraveled a little bit. Doesn't mean these people aren't wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, can you stop somebody coming? You know if.
How do you stop that?
If
to a funeral.
Your wife died, or my wife died, or your girlfriend died, or Chris's beanbag chair he humps died, engineer Chris. Could the parents of the beanbag chair stop Chris from coming to the funeral? I don't think wild horses could stop this kid from attending that funeral. I'm just saying, like, you just go, no, I'm going to show up. I'm going to pay my respects. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it is. I guess you're talking, and they're saying, no, you
can't. How did you find
go?
Out that you weren't supposed to come even?
Well, okay, we showed up at the funeral home, and where I guess people are supposed to exit, they had his name above it, and where to the room where they had him, they had exit above the sign. So we went into the room that had his name above it.
Ominous, by the way.
And the family, like his aunts and uncles, stopped us, asked us our names, checked a list, and they said that we were on the list, so we could not come in.
Oh,
like
well,
an LA club.
So in a way, yeah, you got to tip them. They're looking for a tip.
You got to grease a funeral home director.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we did. And the funeral director set up a time for my family.
Wait, hold on. She doesn't know what that means. I just like the idea of you going, is it going to be an open casket? No, absolutely not. Maybe this will help open the casket a little. That'll get a crack open. That'll get a crack. And peel off another 20. We should be able to chalk it up about 6 inches. If you stick your face in there, you could probably see it if you had one of those pen-like flashlights. maybe this will help get the casket just a little bit more open. It's great.
Horrible.
It's like the maitre d'. No, Jennifer?
We talked to the funeral director. They were going to give us, like, our own time to mourn him. And then the family found out that he was going to let us and told them that absolutely not. So the funeral director came to my house and told me about what happened and brought me a bunch of the funeral flyers and everything. And that's all we got out of it.
Jennifer.
Still confused.
Yeah, here's the thing, and here's the problem. And I feel bad for you, and, you know, you're pregnant with this guy's kid. This guy died a few weeks ago. There's still parts missing here, and I'm not sure why. Had you had contact with the family before this?
I've met him a couple times, but I'd only hung out with him by myself, like, twice.
Okay. Was there a problem when you were there then with them?
Do you have a trouble past?
No, they
past?
Were real nice, and his mom's a principal of an elementary school. And, wow. I mean, she was real nice and polite. And
okay.
That's right. What I don't get.
And your past is you got a kid, you don't do drugs.
No, I don't do anything. I'm a mother, and I own my own business, and that's
all
what
right.
I do.
You do what's that business, phone sex? Or?
Yeah, right. No, we started a security business.
Okay.
Who's we?
All right, so.
Me and my dad.
Okay. So this is a tragedy. I'm sorry for the way they handled it. I don't know. Maybe they were just in such grief they couldn't see anybody that they reminded them of their son. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, they
And by the way, as a guy who's one of his best buddies smoked weed constantly and whose mom always assumed I was the guy who was forcing him to smoke the weed. Like, yeah, that's what I do. I take a big hit and then we'd French kiss and I would massage his lungs and blow it into it. Parents are, by the way, absolutely batty about that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, your son's a junkie. He's hooked up with some chick who doesn't do drugs and you can still blame that person, yeah. Anybody but your own. It is amazing the capacity of especially a mother to do
denial.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, but anyway, so Jennifer, you're going to have his child?
Yeah.
All right. And yeah?
I didn't know if, I mean, it's just gone. I've gone through hell these past couple weeks trying to figure out
Jennifer,
everything.
you want to know whether to tell the family?
Well, the family found out through some of, I guess, his other friends that were able to go to the funeral, And they, like, have made, like, no attempt. They said that they don't, they told, I've heard through the grapevine or whatever, that they don't want to deal with the baby situation or any of that. So I was wondering if I should just let it go and just say forget them, or if I should, you know, try to get them into my child's life.
Well, I would say not.
No, I would say no. I would also say a couple of things. One, I don't know if the family is financially obliged to be involved with this. No,
not at all.
Drew says no.
Because
no,
I have not.
Through
I don't
11
that.
Times, actually.
Jennifer, I have a question. Are you dating? Do you have a boyfriend now?
No. Oh, okay. No, I don't.
Probably best. Yeah. You're in Indiana. Colby be swinging through there in July.
No,
so
no,
you
that's
need a little...
not why I was asking.
Now, here's the thing. Jennifer, how about you give the kid up for adoption?
I can't do that.
Why?
All right.
Huh?
Why can't you?
Because I would wonder all the time about it. And
wonder about it being with a worthwhile family.
Assume he's doing better than he is with you, and then it's easy.
But I take very good care of my son now.
Okay. All right. Just the idea that you're 23, you're trying to run a business, you have an 8-month-old, you're going to have another. Do you just have one kid so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there he is.
Yeah.
Okay, Jennifer, don't deal. Look, if the family doesn't want you involved, then fine.
Why is the child up at 3 in the morning?
He watches Nightline.
Drew, what do you think she ought to do?
I think the child would have a much greater chance with an adoptive parent.
Here's the thing.
She's got chaos in her life. She's busy trying to support another child. Could you imagine at 23 having had two children?
No.
It's unimaginable.
That's why I ask, because I think you're right.
Oh, true. Yeah. Plus, your ass would be like a dinner bell. I mean, just be like that triangle. I mean, imagine. Blown out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a guy.
Nice.
Right? Okay, look, here's the thing. Here's what Drew is responding to. Here's what I'm responding to. Our spidey sense is tingling.
Yeah.
Security business with dad, cranked out a kid with another guy who's not in the picture, pregnant with this guy, parents magically don't want her anywhere near the funeral, much more to this, and just a sort of general white trash demeanor, much more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
We talk to these people all the time. They're like, these are the same people when they're in high school. They're like, well, why'd you get expelled? Principal doesn't like me.
Right.
Doesn't like you, or you vandalize the cafeteria again. You know what I mean? And if you talk to them, well, unless you can talk to the principal, you'll never hear it. It's like, according to them, they just got tossed out for no good reason. So I feel sorry for what Jennifer's going through. I bet there's more to it than
absolutely.
Meets the eye. All right. Let's talk to Jason, who's 18. Jason?
Jason.
Yes?
Jason, you're 18.
You want to talk?
What's up, buddy?
I was wondering, do you have to have a certificate to be a contractor for roofing?
Well, yeah. You have to get a contractor's license if you want to be, you know, legal contractor, but it doesn't mean, you know, you don't need one to work. Everyone works.
Yeah, I want to be a roofer, but I'm passing high school. I'm graduating in a couple months, in the beginning of April.
Uh-huh. And you want to be a roofer.
A contractor.
Is this the point in the show when your breadth of knowledge expands?
This is really where I kick it into overdrive. Let me tell you,
this came out of left field to me, but I know a little bit about your background, so that's why I'm asking.
Roofing, you know, drywallers make fun of roofers. This is the rodeo clown on the construction circuit. It is as low as it goes. I don't know why you would want to do this. Sitting up there with that that tar pumper and the hot mop. You know what they do, Drew? They take big blocks of solid tar, throw it into a kettle, heat it up, have it shoot through a hose into a 5-gallon bucket, hump that up a ladder, throw it on the roof, and take just a basic kitchen mop that's dipped in that horrible tar. And just, you know how you drive past the roofing job when they're hot mopping and you roll your window up?
Feh.
You go, this is horrible. Okay, I must have gotten 10 kinds of cancer going by. I was going 80. I got colon cancer. These guys are on the roof with it. You understand?
Yeah, all day. Times.
Yeah, Jason, you don't want to be a roofer.
Well, just like...
And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You understand? You fall off all the time.
What about general construction?
That's better.
Oh. Yeah.
This is exciting.
But it's somewhat general.
Yeah.
I mean...
Hey, Jason?
Yeah?
Just get a job as a laborer and see how it goes, all right?
All right.
All right, thank buddy. You. Hey, listen.
Yeah?
You can leave high school now, by the way. You have my permission. You don't need high school. You know, you, listen, I did construction for 13 years. They make fun of you for having a diploma.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You're overqualified.
Yeah. You're stigmatized. It's like it's like being a it's like being a pedophile in the joint.
I did
you
that.
Know what I mean?
I graduated college, went back home, and I hauled beer on a beer truck.
Really?
Delivered beer. And
what
those
kind
guys,
of beer?
Those guys knocked me. I was working for Miller Lite.
And, wow, you're driving the beer truck.
Well, the whole thing. I was riding shotgun. I was slinging beer. But the cool thing is whenever you get what's called a quote unquote breakage, mm-hmm. when like a 12 pack or a case falls out and busts
right.
open, you have an extra bay on the beer truck where you throw that. And at the end of the day, you get back to the warehouse and you unload all the breakage
right.
into a big cooler, and all the staff, you know, the gets drivers and the shotguns. Get to sit there and drink beer. So don't think for a second that I wasn't dropping one out of five cases on the ground just to bust it open.
And the thing that strikes me about working in delivering beer or with
by
beer,
the way, like, give a Colby my card, will you, Adam?
Yeah. I got your card.
Where's my bourbon?
The thing about beer, like, okay, here's the thing.
It's in my big gulp.
If you work at a ice cream parlor, you're going to get sick of ice cream in the first 2 weeks.
True.
And you'll never want to see it again. And it's the same way with almost any food place or anything. But beer, that's a way of life.
Yeah.
I mean, you could work for a bottling place. You could deliver. I don't care what the brand was. You could drink it your entire life, unless it was Mickey's Big Mouth.
Well, that's just
that
it, Adam.
Eventually.
I mean, we've got at least 12, 13 different brands. So I break a different brand every day.
Right.
I mean, it's called variety.
Shrewd.
It's the spice of life, baby.
Shrewd. Colby here from Survivor, everybody. Yeah. Favorite show. Let's take one more call before we go to break.
Let's do it.
This will be Dee Dee, who's 20. Dee Dee?
Hi.
What's your problem, baby doll?
Okay. Well, I've been noticing probably for around the last year, every single time that I have sex or masturbate, my clit just, it starts hurting really, really bad, and I can't have an orgasm anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a human sexuality class in college, and I read this, like, maybe two-line thing where it said smegma. Might be a cause.
No.
Wow. No.
I don't even know what that is.
Smegma's a bad thing.
Anything.
No.
Yeah.
Could be the guys. It turned out for me, my lady, it was my belt buckle that was causing the chafing. I started taking my pants off, which was an inconvenience. But, like in any relationship, there's sacrifices. Drew, what? Now, Drew, define smegma, please.
I was going to say. It's really more something that guys get. It's just
yes.
accumulated debris and crevices and things. Why are you on medication?
Hold on. It's sort of the cottage cheese that builds up at the end of the uncircumcised penis.
Yeah, I know. Yes. It talked about being unclean, but it said that girls could have that problem, and I was like,
are you on any medication?
No.
Hmm. Do you have any medical problems?
None. Not really.
Hmm.
You going to junior college?
I have ulcers, but.
Ulcers where?
In my stomach, but I mean, I don't have anything other than that.
And you get irritation, so you can't continue stimulating
yourself.
Yeah,
it starts to hurt way too much to even consider it.
Okay. Why do you have ulcers?
No piercings or anything?
Not down there.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry for bothering you with this question, but you understand it's getting late. We need answers. Hold on a second. First off, Dee Dee's calling from Bakersfield, which is
wait. That's second call tonight from Bakersfield.
Albino trash.
It is a problem infested area.
The world's dumbest white people.
We just played Bakersfield.
Fine in Bakersfield, and she's one of these chicks. Let me tell you something. She is not L.A. hot, but she's Bakersfield hot, which means doesn't have nine kids and isn't fat as a goddamn Winnebago. So she's all full of her Bakersfield self because she's like, yeah, because I'm hot because I ain't fat and I don't have nine kids. I only have three kids. And I'm going to junior college. I ain't in juvenile hall like the rest of my friends. But so she's got an attitude. Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me get this straight. Your clitoris Or as my grandmother would say, clitoris. We've gotten into many arguments over this. Turns out you can pronounce it both ways. We had to look it up in the oversized print dictionary that my grandfather left behind before he died.
What the hell? Just abbreviate.
Very uncomfortable. Yes. And it just gets uncomfortable when you're having intercourse or when you're doing anything.
Even masturbating, it hurts.
I see. All right. True.
Yeah.
Could there be any, I don't know, do they change? Do they grow? Do they metamorphosize?
No, I worry more about things like medication and drugs. That's really where that sort of thing gets going. You don't use drugs or alcohol.
I drink and smoke pot occasionally, but I haven't even smoked pot in a long time.
But no history of heavy drug use of any type?
No.
And no birth control pill, no medication, no nothing?
I was on the depot shot maybe 2 years ago.
Huh. You need to have a pelvic exam to make sure it's not... I mean, there are all kinds of weird possibilities, even tumors and things in the spine.
Go see a gynecologist. But, yes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be here from Survivor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He is in Syracuse tonight. Be back in studio tomorrow night. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam.
All right, buddy. You getting a little tired?
No.
Okay. Don't get defensive. Just checking. You got up early this morning. I was looking out for you, buddy.
Did you wake up and think of me?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I told... I was telling Drew had to get up about 4:45 L.A. time this morning after doing this show. I told him one of my simple pleasures is to try to concentrate on those who have to get up at ungodly hours before I go to bed at 2:30 with a little buzz usually, and try to wake up about the time they're going to get up, but just enough to look at the clock, maybe break a little wind.
And snicker a bit.
Snicker a bit, and then drop the head back onto the pillow and pull the comforter back over me. Otherwise, it's just sleeping.
Sure.
It's all relative. I mean,
we must appreciate
Colby. Is someone did Survivor? I mean, the idea of just sleeping on a cot with a blanket and getting some cafeteria food, like junior high cafeteria food, after 2 weeks doing without what would have been heaven, right?
And getting a full night's sleep.
Prison bunk. And a little army food would have been. I mean, you would have fought someone to the death for 2 weeks into this thing of just eating gruel and sleeping on the ground. Yes,
yeah, right on.
So it's very relative.
Sure.
Oh, let me ask. This.
I can relate.
Let me ask. Are you right back to normal, or do you still enjoy it when you climb into a cozy bed and have a hot meal? You know what I mean?
You know, you do tend to come back and appreciate a lot more what you've been without. And that was, for me, part of the reason for going back and doing it again.
It really
is that positive of an experience in the way that, you know, we all take things for granted, whether it's material items or those loved ones close to us that they call us on a daily basis. And I remember the first time going in, excuse me, when a crew member called me over to do an interview with one of the field producers, and he said, CD, would you join us over here? My initials, CD. One of my best friends from Texas is the only one that's ever called me by my initials. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until this guy that I didn't even know, because you're not allowed to visit with the crew. You're not allowed to even talk to those guys. It wasn't until this guy called me by my initials that I realized, you know, how much I missed a buddy of mine. I mean, this is just a close buddy from college, and that's when you really start to put things into perspective and realize how much the trivial and somewhat menial things that you think aren't that important in a daily basis. And when you're removed from those for an extended period of time, you realize how much they mean to you.
No, you're right. Hey, let me just take a second here. Hey, Drew?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I love you, man. You know?
What do you want from me?
I just said I love you, man. I just, you know, we hadn't...
I love you too, man.
I haven't said it in a while, you know what I'm saying? And
you said it last night, though.
Okay.
Well, at least you're feeling the love.
Hey, Engineer Chris. Hey, man. Can you give me some more coffee? I love screwing with Chris. All right. Well, see, that's it's very interesting. And, you know, you can tell that people are really, stretched to their emotional breaking points when they show people, you know, videos from home. Some of these, you know, they've been, it comes about day 23, sometimes day 27. They got a video from their mom who they probably hate. And these people are just bawling like babies, yeah. Like they can't believe it. And it's amazing, the stress and how that brings that out in them. All right, let's talk to Terry, who's been on hold for 80 minutes. Make it 81. Yeah. Terry, you're 23.
Yes, I am.
Sorry, I wanted to go to you at the beginning, but Colby said no.
He said, come on now, said, Terry, you don't believe that.
He said Shannon Elizabeth and Jeff Probst, two very important, yeah. High-powered celebrity players are going to be calling in.
Yeah.
And I need to speak to them instead of Terry. Oh, yeah. He didn't call you Terry. He called you one of the little people. Anyway.
Very hurtful.
What's up, Terry?
Okay, well, followed by another question about the hoo-ha. Mm-hmm. I noticed the other day in the shower that I have a little bump. And I guess, like, today it started hurting, and basically it's just a sore.
It's an open sore?
Yeah, where is it?
It's, I guess, like, I guess the outer lip, like. Mm-hmm.
Is it open or is it just a bump that's tender?
It looks pretty much like a cold sore you get in your mouth.
Well, that would be a herpes.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, like, I haven't been with anyone for 5 months, and before that it was 3 years, and, like, I don't know if I, like, is it possible to not have any kind of symptoms and then just...
Yeah, in fact, there's some data that suggests that most women with herpes don't know they have it, but there's another possibility. There are other reasons that people get cold sores, things that look like cold sores down there. Do you have anything in your mouth?
No.
Do you have any joint problems or arthritis, anything along those lines?
No.
You on medication?
I was on Surzone for a couple weeks. Other than that, no.
I had a girl, Drew, hold on a second. I have a hypothesis. I had a girlfriend back in the day that fell asleep with a lit cigarette up in there, and it, you know, eventually burned her. It left the same sort of mark. Anything like that, Terry?
Unfortunately, no.
No. Okay. All right. Check that off the list.
But there are reasons to get ulcers down there that are not necessarily herpes, but the majority of the time it is herpes.
Okay.
Well, you can also, I mean, it's not probable, and Drew's may guffaw at this, but it's possible to get it without having sexual intercourse, is it not?
Yeah, it's possible to have it transmitted down there, yeah.
I mean, it's like if somebody who had it got off a bike at a spinning class and you climbed onto that sweaty saddle after they moved their infected hooch off it. Is that possible?
You forgot the point about both of you need to be naked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a naked spinning class.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. Like a Queen record album. All right. So
it's a pretty hard thing to contract without sexual contact. It really is. But people can transmit it from one part of their, like, on their hand, and it's possible. But
so you need to
be more, more likely their medications and their autoimmune diseases that can be associated with this, but... More often than not, it's herpes.
Should she get it seen while there's something to see?
Absolutely, because the majority of the time it's a clinical diagnosis, so you want somebody to look at it while you have an outbreak.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's uncomfortable, but if you wait for it to go away, then the doctor can only speculate, much like Drew over the phone.
Right.
Okay. Is that the only way to get diagnosis? I mean, I'm planning on going anyway, but is that the only way they can diagnose it?
Well, yeah. If they really want to nail it down, they'll do a culture. But the predominant way is by inspection.
Mm-hmm. All right, baby doll.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay,
you know,
good luck.
I feel it. You know, it's some people never get laid and they get something. Other people, you know, they go on sex tours of Bangkok and they come back pristine. It doesn't seem fair. You know,
right.
But this is life. You know, the junkie cop killer gets shot 9 times and is fine.
Yeah.
And the kid takes a spill on the bike, hits his head on the coping of the pool, and is gone. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell, Drew?
Yeah.
This is how I know there's no God.
Only
see
a magnet.
Only a great magnet. That there's a great magnet in the sky. Yes, we should all praise the great magnet. Yes. If you guys were smart, you'd get on board. But I'm going to write a book, and it's going to called Magnetism, and it's about the great magnet. I'm going to start a religion, Drew. You want in?
Ooh.
Yeah. It's called. My book's going to be called Magnetics. It's going to have a volcano on it. You're going to explode with energy. Yeah. Maybe I'll start a cult.
That is going to be Cro-Magnontism.
Magnontism. Yeah, it's going to be big, and everyone's going to wear small magnets around their neck. And if they ever get in a room with a big enough speaker, everyone's heads is going to get sucked by their chain right into it. All right, Drew. Good times?
Hey, good times.
You believe in the great magnet, right?
Oh, of course.
All right. Quick call. And then Colby's got to get back to his poker game with his big celebrity friends.
You're
going to
go lose some more money.
Cindy? Cindy. All right, quick Germany or Florida, Drew.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. This is a game that's sweeping the nation, by the way, Colby. All right. Eric?
Yeah.
Anderson, can we hear our Germany or Florida theme song, please?
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex myth and death fetishes, both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore ya, Germany or Florida.
Yes. Now, all bizarre stories either come out of Germany or Florida. We hear the bizarre story and then guess. Is it Germany or Florida?
Oh, I dig it.
Go ahead, Eric.
I dig it.
First, Adam, funniest man alive. Dr. Drew, I read your book. It was great.
Just do it!
Thanks, buddy. That's Anderson.
A man dubbed the bumbling bank robber was convicted after investigators matched his DNA to the gold teeth knocked out when a van hit the fleeing suspect, prosecutor says Wednesday. As he ran out of the bank, he stuffed the gun into his waistband, accidentally firing it into his pants. The bullet missed him, but when he stepped into the street, he was hit by a van delivering school lunches in the area. Investigator said, Germany or Florida?
Mm-hmm.
School lunches, Florida.
School lunches, gold teeth.
Yeah.
The Krauts don't have gold teeth. That's something the American black man has cornered. We're going Florida. Colby, you have any?
I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to say Germany.
Going Germany. True, Florida. I got Florida. Colby's got Germany. And Eric, is it Germany or Florida?
Adam, you're always right. Florida.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. God love you, Eric. We're going to send you out a windbreak, all right?
Thank you.
All right. Colby is having to leave the building.
Yeah.
Been here far longer.
It has been great. Once again, Drew, disappointed I didn't get to meet you, but it gives me an excuse to come back. I honestly can't wait to meet you. Adam, it has been fun talking hot rods and hot babes.
God love you, Colby.
All the fun stuff.
Favorite Survivor, favorite show.
Thanks, bro. I'm going to go back and lose some money.
Give our love to Shannon Elizabeth and Jeff Probst, and tell those two to come back anytime they like. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there in Syracuse. Going to be in tomorrow night. Colby has left the building. Good people, that Colby.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I like these regular guys from small towns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to mention again now, Drew, Windy City Heat. You've seen the movie Windy City Heat, have you not?
So funny.
Seriously.
Seriously.
And let me say this, and I'm saying this, I'm being objective, because I was one of the producers of the movie, but you know what that means. I didn't do anything. I had a small cameo in it. I really, if I thought it wasn't good, I wouldn't be telling you it was good. This movie has, if you sit and watch it in a theater, there is 30 to 50 out loud laughs over the course of this hour and a half movie, which I don't know too many movies you can say that for. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
Yes? True. You laugh like a maniac, yes?
Maniac.
Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Drew.
No, I'm sitting right in front of you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, maniac.
All right. The it's going to be showing at the Arclight in Hollywood at 8:30 this Saturday.
Is the star going to show up?
Yes.
Nice.
The star, yes. Perry will be there. Perry Caravello and Mole and Big Lou. Don Barris and Jimmy Kimmel will be there. I'm trying to be there, but I got to do this ABC special that ends up taping into the night Saturday night. Good time.
What is that?
I'm hosting a two-part, one-hour special where they're going to try to figure out the next Martha Stewart.
What? Are you high?
A little bit. I got a little buzz.
Homie
and I toked out pretty good in the parking lot. He turned me on. Yeah. What do you mean? Am I high? Are they high? That's the question, Drew.
That is the question, Mr. Corolla.
Yeah. No, I you know what? It's unscripted. I'm taking six people and putting them through their paces. They're going to have all these competitions. This sounded fun.
Right.
And you know me, Drew. I don't like doing stuff.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it sounded easy until they gave me the shooting schedule, which is shooting Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday, by the way, is like, show up at 10. We'll have you out of there by 2. Oh, okay, great. Then we'll need you back again at 5.
Oh.
Now, here's the other thing, Drew, and here's where we come in. It's out in Pasadena.
No, where?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably some big, nice house out in Pasadena.
We got to get together.
Possibly your own. Well, here's what I'm saying. I may catch a shower, a nap, and a whack over at your place Saturday, you know, in between shooting. You know what
That's
I'm
fine. You come watch my kid's baseball game.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
All right.
Good times. I'll give you a buzz tomorrow. All right. Let's get back to the phones, Drew, shall we?
Yeah, let's do.
You know, I'm such an idiot. Wherever the post-it is stuck to, that's the one I just go back to. I act like you're putting the post-it on, Drew. Brianna?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
I was just wondering, my dad used to beat my mom, and I grew up seeing it all the time. Mm. And I have a serious relationship now with a boyfriend, and we were talking about, like, what's happened in the past, and he thinks that I'm going to, like, want that from, like, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to want that, but you might have difficulty staying in a relationship. Do you have trouble with relationships?
No, well, he's like my first serious boyfriend. But
how old are you now?
I'm 17.
No.
That has to be, it just has to be horrifying to watch your mom take a beating from your dad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
All right, and is your dad out of the picture now?
No, they're still together. They've been married for 20 years.
God bless them. So, here's the thing. Usually, and yeah, you're going to have feelings around these subjects, but because you're calling and asking probably means you're not going to be nearly as bad as your mom.
You sound okay.
Okay, that's good.
It's hard to say. I mean, you'll see. Do you have any ambivalent feelings, any unusual feelings about being in the relationship?
No, like, I'm perfectly happy with him. It's just, like, and I don't know if, like, in the future, like, I don't know if I get married to someone, like,
It's not so much that you'll cause that as much as you'll be attracted to guys that have that potential in them.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And, like, he's not like that at all. But even though I never got beat at all, like, I'm still hand shy.
Right.
And everything, so.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about a little therapy, perhaps?
Did your dad drink when he was doing that?
Oh, yeah, he used to drink.
How about some Al-Anon, Alateen?
For what?
Al-Anon or Alateen would be helpful.
Oh, okay. My parents actually started premium therapy, but then we stopped.
Oh, why don't you start up again?
Yeah, Al-Anon or Alateen. Couldn't hurt. And let's talk to, I'm going to go for whoever's been on hold the longest. That would be Brooke, who's 23. Brooke?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. What's happening?
Well, your producer told me not to talk too much about the doctor, but I'm getting prescription drugs, a lot of them, and I just want to know what to do as far as detoxing myself and if it's going to be, like, super, super hard or what.
What's the drug?
Everything. I mean, I'm living like Elvis. I'm taking uppers in the morning and downers at night.
You need to go in a hospital.
You think?
Yeah. The downers can be, what are you taking, Ativan or Xanax?
Xanax,
or something?
2 milligrams, 4 of them.
Yeah. Okay, that can be very dangerous to detox.
And then I drink my red wine. But Adam says he drinks his red wine with his Ambien.
Yeah.
Adam, for Christ's sake.
Hold on a second.
And I just want to tell everybody, please do not get tangled up in this. It is so addictive. Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something, baby.
Go get it in a hospital. Where are you calling from?
I live in Malibu.
Yeah.
My family doesn't know. Nobody knows my job.
But they're going to have to know because this is going to take some time and some effort, and they're going to have to participate in that. But it's a real serious thing.
Well, let me ask a couple. Hold on. Quiet down.
No.
Quiet down.
No.
Let me ask a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
How long has this been going on?
I was injured in a car accident about 6 months ago. So the legitimate doctors were giving me the pain medication for about 2 months, and then they cut me off, so I had to start going to the non-legitimate doctors.
Right.
The suppliers.
The drug-dealing doctors.
Right.
Right.
And so it's been 6 months, so it's in full swing. And, Drew,
I don't take that much. I only take about six really high doses of hydrocodone a day, and then I take the Xanax at night. So that's not that much. I mean, when
it's
you
not that much, but but opiate addiction just does not work, does not respond to outpatient treatment very well. It really doesn't.
Really?
So
I've always been the one that's been like, you know, the good one, and the you know, never smoked a cigarette, never did anything like that in my life.
Well, you didn't ask for this, but here we are.
You had a car accident. It happens to everybody.
I know it happens to so many people, but
yeah.
And then I have my little beer, have my two beers, and I mean, is it true that like one night I can have a beer and it could just like counteract with my Xanax and I could die?
Not likely.
Okay.
Not likely.
Because my boyfriend keeps telling me that.
Well, he's trying to get you to put the beer down or the Xanax down. All right, so here's the deal: she can't do this alone. She can't do it on her own.
There's no way I can just stop taking the Vicodin.
Well, can you, or how does it work?
Well,
Drew,
can I just stop taking the Vicodin and just withdraw with the Xanax and just like get it out of my system for a couple days?
You can, but you'll feel like hell.
But
and you'll go back
to the Xanax, even if I just sleep all day, I'll take a couple days off work.
Yeah, this is all very, very dangerous. Very dangerous.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. It's physically dangerous to stop.
Because she's
going
to try to stop taking the opiates and escalate the Xanax. She's going to get severely addicted to that, start try to bring that down and have a seizure. You shouldn't be screwing around with this. Don't you? You got to go somewhere where there are professionals that deal with this all the time. Get it treated.
All right. Like Jiffy Lube or somewhere like that?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. 7 o'clock. All right. That's the show. I want to thank Colby for coming in here tonight, producer Ann. Move over, Ethan. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Colby. Yeah. Well, we now know what producer Ann likes. She likes him hot. And in a person, she's like a dude. She's like, hey, that's a nice slab of meat there. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Drew, be back from Syracuse, and I look forward to seeing him tomorrow night. James Marsters will be in here from Angel, and I remember from Buffy, and we'll take a quick 22-hour break. So, until next time. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Have you guys tasted his water, by the way?
Oh, his water. Oh, his alleged water is Big Gulp, which is nothing but Kamchatka and Gatorade. Yes, I'm sure there's booze in there.
Thanks, Shannon.
This kid's got a problem.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.